The lectionary for this first Sunday in Advent provides a rather strange passage from Mark. It's always a passage like this one for the first Sunday in Advent. But isn't Advent the time we prepare for the birth of Christ in a manger? Well, as you will hear, this passage speaks nothing of Jesus' birth. And its language is different from the majority not only of the New Testament, but most of the Old Testament as well. However, if we understand Advent to be more than simply preparing for Christ in a manger, but expand that expectation and anticipation to include Christ's presence in the world and the fulfillment of God's plan for creation, which includes Christ's return, the second Advent, then it makes perfect sense. The 13th chapter of Mark is often referred to as the little apocalypse and is oft quoted by doomsayers and evangelists who are more interested in the next world than in this one. As literature, apocalyptic deals with a revelation or a series of revelations which disclose in vivid and intense imagery the supernatural world beyond the world of historical events. The focus of apocalyptic literature is on eschatology, the end times, the end of the world as we know it today and the beginning of a new age, the transition from the now to what is to be is described in language cosmic in scope. So with these introductory comments, let's read this passage from the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're all right in the middle of it, aren't we? By that I mean what Minister Jeffrey London means when he preaches, "The truth of life is that no one escapes living. And living involves hardship and pain as much as it does joy and gladness. It rains and storms just as mightily on the good as it does the bad. The truth of life is that God lifts no one above the turmoil and suffering, not even his Son. We're all dropped right in the middle of it. Whether it's a personal issue, declining health of you or a loved one, a deteriorating relationship, untimely death, or whether it's a societal or global issue, safety in the light of terrorism and gun violence, whether it's conflict arising from issues of race and ethnicity, whether it's threats such as climate change, what do shrinking ice caps mean for the earth, whatever, we're right in the middle of it. We're even right in the middle of it as a people, as people on the right and people on the left are constantly at odds. And when we're right in the middle of it, we seek messages of hope. Anything that will make sense of this crazy present world in which we live to help us look hopefully to the future. Apocalyptic literature of the sort found here in Mark points to a future time of redemption. Perhaps you noticed that echoed in our opening hymn as well. A time when people will realize that God has been in control all along. Apocalyptic literature is important in that it provides hope in the midst of hopelessness, comfort in the midst of despair. It renews courage in the face of adversity. It brings light in the middle of darkness. As Fred Craddock notes, I placed it as the reflection in your bulletins, amid painful and prolonged suffering, when there can be seen on the horizon of predictable history no relief from disaster, faith turns its face toward heaven, not only for a revelation of God's will, but also for a vision of the end of the present misery and the beginning of the age to come. Apocalyptic literature provides this vision. And that's how it functions in the New Testament, in the Bible. To a people unsure of their future, to a people in exile or being persecuted, to a church being persecuted even while waiting for Christ to return, apocalyptic literature provides that message of hope and redemption. But there's another element in play here. It's apparent in our passage that the author believes Jesus' return is imminent. This generation will not pass before these things take place, this author writes. But of course, that generation does pass, as do many, many, many generations. We're still waiting. So though we may find comfort in this vision of the age to come, still we live in the present, do we not? And the question then becomes, for you and for me and the church, how do we live faithfully in the present age? How do we faithfully bear witness to the presence of Christ in the world until God's plans for creation are brought to fruition, until the second advent of Christ? Living faithfully in the present. Scripture is clear that the church, you and me together, are called to be a sign of the kingdom in the current age. The church is called to witness in its life and ministry that the God who was in Christ still lives today, that He is alive in our world and in our lives, and that He will bring to fruition His plans for creation, which means you and I have a part to play. We are very much a part of this cosmic struggle taking place. We can't just sit there with our hands in our pockets, twiddling our thumbs, because we're dealing with matters of ultimate, even metaphysical importance. We've got to get on with being disciples. We've got to baptize, witness, educate, care for each other, care for the least of these, those whom Jesus loved. Be good stewards of the earth, because that's all part of the plan. If we don't do that, if we don't live faithfully in the present age, our apathy and inactivity may be serving to delay or even impede God's plan. We've got to be watchful, be alert. We've got to keep awake. We've got to get on with being disciples, because it's important. Living faithfully in the present age. I tell this each Advent, I believe, the story of an eclipse in colonial New England, during which state legislators panicked, thought the end of the world was near, causing several to move to adjourn. But one of them stood up and said, "Mr. Speaker, if it is not the end of the world and we adjourn, we shall appear to be fools. If it is the end of the world, I should choose to be found doing my duty. I move, sir, that candles be brought. I should choose to be found doing my duty." Take heed, Jesus says. Keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. You know, the good news of it all is that it doesn't really matter when that day or when that hour comes, or even if such an hour exists. As long as we carry out the charge we have been given, as long as we carry out the mission for which we have been given authority, as long as we seek first to serve God and our neighbor, the rest will take care of itself. For we will be living faithfully in the present age. We will be found doing our duty.